1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian podcast is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Fun, safe, and stress-free gatherings were hard to plan until now. For only $99, you can reserve a theater for a private showing for up to 20 of your friends and family. Details online at marcustheaters.com.
Time to talk music news with the guy who follows music pretty much around the clock, our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are we?
Pretty good.
You could be our follow the rock around the clock guy.
There you go.
You like that?
I like that.
All right. Let's go old school here. Let's go back. How old do you have to be to know who Engelbert Humperdinck is?
He's enough of a pop kitsch kind of thing that I think, you know, you don't have to be all that old.
My mom loved Engelbert Humperdinck. I even remember what label his records were on. He was on the Parrot label.
Very good.
When I was a kid, because there was a green parrot. Green parrot with a top hat.
Yep.
He was kind of like Mr. Peanut, only a parrot.
That was actually...
He was.
That was a domestic, a U.S. label that licensed foreign recordings. That's how a lot of that came about, although they did have some of their own, including the Monster Mash was theirs.
Bobby Boris?
Really?
Yep, Bobby Boris Pickett.
Was on Parrot Records as well?
Yep.
Well, Engelbert Humperdinck, who is how old now?
He is 87, I believe.
And he's got COVID.
He's got COVID. He posted a message, public message this week that he and his wife, Patricia, they've been married 56 years, they tested positive for COVID, as well as their son, one of their sons, and two caregivers at the house. So, you know, hope's there for a good recovery. You know, a positive test doesn't necessarily mean your hospitalization level COVID, and he certainly is in a position to be cared for.
Where is he? Well. Is he in the country, or is he? I don't even. Was he? Is
I believe
he...
California, because I spoke with him in November. He had a streaming concert in December, and it put out a new EP. So we spoke in December, and I'm pretty sure I spoke with him from California.
Where's he from originally?
I think Hungary or something.
Yeah, he had a weird accent. He was
British India,
and
that's it, yeah.
And he picked Engelbert Humperdinck, knowing that people knew
would
that.
Remember
was,
it?
Well, they knew that wasn't his name, but it was based on a literature thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, because his real name is
Arnold.
Yeah,
Arnold George Dorsey.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Please make welcome Arnie Dorsey.
Yeah, kind of.
What's his biggest hit, Engelbert Humperdinck?
He had Release Me. The Last Waltz was big after The Lovin'. Those were the, I think Release Me is the one if you were going to be stranded on a desert island and really felt like you had to.
Have some Humperdinck.
Had to have an Engelbert Humperdinck on the mixtape.
I got to have more Humperdinck.
Yeah, Release Me would be.
Well, laugh all you want. I'd like to have his money, you know.
He did well, right?
He did very well, yeah. And continues to do very well. I mean, he has continued to tour and play, you know, play live shows, and they do very well.
He and Tom Jones, I always thought, were kind of about the same guy,
Tom takes great exception to that, by the way.
Does he really?
And to be honest, should. I mean, Tom Jones has, I think we spoke about this last week or the week before, he has kept himself not only in shape, but very contemporary.
Oh, really? Engelbert's not doing, I mean, physically, Tom Jones.
No, I think Engelbert still looks pretty good.
Okay.
But I think Tom just, you know, you see Tom Jones performing now, and it doesn't feel like you're seeing a relic or anything.
Well, I don't want to get them all stirred up when I see him, so
no,
I'm glad you told me.
You know, those Welsh, they have tempers.
Apparently, he did quite a Jerry Lewis imitation.
Engelbert?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, he's what? Actually. I'll tell you, he's engaging. You know, he's a fun guy to talk to.
Well, you said you last time you talked to him. So when was that?
That was November, this past November.
Okay, and he was doing well then.
Yeah, yeah.
How's
yeah,
his voice?
Was, his voice is still fine.
Wow.
I
okay.
Mean, you know, but those guys, you know, they were some of these old school professional entertainers. They knew some of them. It was dumb luck. I mean, you know, the Rat Pack was dumb luck that any of them, you know, retained their talents after everything. But in the case, some of these guys, like Engelbert and Tom Jones, they they take care of themselves and always have.
They were planning. They were planning ahead.
Yeah.
Down the road, like, well.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
This is my moneymaker. I should really take care of it.
I mean, I think if you were a smart crooner, you maybe looked at Caruso and said, you know, if I do take care of myself, I can be at this a good long time.
Was Tony Bennett smart about it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Was Mel Torme?
I think so.
I'm trying to think of other crooners to see if they took care of themselves.
Yeah, and some people, listen, they just lose it by natural attrition. I still remember seeing Kenny Rogers on his last tour, and it was painful.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was because of anything he did to himself. I just think he had reached the age where it had left him.
Sure. Okay. Adele is divorced, so look for another great album from her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, the divorce has actually been going on for a couple of years now. She and Simon Konecki, who's a philanthropist, so they had announced they were splitting up, back in April of 2019. And, you know, there were talks even before that. But this week they announced that they had reached a divorce settlement. They did it themselves. No lawyers or anything.
Really?
They just have to take it before a judge and get the judge to sign off on it. So, yeah, so you can expect the album's going to be another one of those Adele albums, probably.
I bet lawyers would have made her more sad.
Maybe.
You know, but it sounds like they were able to put their feelings aside, if you can do this yourself, that they weren't bickering over the silverware or the dinnerware.
I mean, clearly they had a good enough relationship that they could do it themselves. And, you know, they do have a son. I'm assuming that they came up with some sort of custody agreement. So good for them, you know.
Yoko Ono and Jimi Hendrix have gotten together.
Together again for the first time, yes. The two of them, you know, who of course both manage substantial estates for John Lennon, and Janie runs the Experience Hendrix for her half-brother, Jimmy. They are going to, next month, launch a new TV channel called the Coda Collection. This will be through Amazon Prime Video, and it will be dedicated to music, documentaries, feature films, rare concert footage. Among the things they're going to be showing when they launch, they're launching with about 150 titles, they say. The Jimi Hendrix in Maui documentary, the Rolling Stones on the Air documentary, films by Johnny Cash at San Quentin. They've got a Miranda Lambert. They've got Bob Dylan, the Martin Scorsese, Trouble No More. There's a new Dave Grohl documentary that they're going to be premiering. They have concert footage from AC/DC and Pearl Jam. I mean, they're going to do very well.
So they've got some content to kick this thing off.
Absolutely, and they're going to do very well because they're trusted by the artist. You know, they know, you know, well, Experience Hendrix has a great track record of what has been doing with the Jimi Hendrix catalog. You know, Yoko is Yoko, and she's done well with the John Lennon estate.
So is this going to compete with Axis?
Yeah, this will compete with Axis, although this is it's pay via your cable, whatever cable deal you have. This is a pay, $5 a month pay service through Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I don't need any more platforms. I'm really up to here on streaming.
Yeah, you get to write it off, though.
Well, yeah.
It's your business. It's what you do.
It's so true.
You could get it. And I do think this is going to be, this will be a premium platform, though, because, like I say, because the two of them have, Janie Hendrix and Yoko Ono have so much credibility within the artistic world. They're going to get some really, really cool stuff, some great exclusive content.
Chicago's taken up residence in Las Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah. So this is part of, I think, a larger story here where we are seeing things coming, shows being scheduled, tours being scheduled again for this year, for 2021. So Chicago announced they're going to set up shop at the Venetian in Las Vegas mid-September, September 15th through 20th. Tickets go on sale today. You know, meanwhile, we have things like the Hella Mega Tour, which is the Weezer, Guns N' Roses tour, that was supposed to go out this summer. Fall Out Boy's part of that. They say, it's on. and they're going to do Europe first, and then be, you know, be out in the U.S. You have today Hall & Oates and Squeeze announced formally announced the new dates for this summer for their postponed tour. So, you know, and I was talking with the Black Crowes with Chris and Rich Robinson the other day, and they said that Live Nation has been very bullish about being able to do their tour this summer. So I'm still skeptical, and I know a lot of other people are, but, you know, clearly there's an intent, and as we talked about, Lollapalooza announced their date for the beginning of August in Chicago, so... There's a real intent to try to make live music happen.
Would they possibly do it like the NFL with limited, you know?
They might have to. Seating? A lot of that's going to depend. And this is what's holding a lot of artists back right now, is you don't know from state to state what you're going to be able to do. So do you count, do you schedule a full-scale tour? But not know, even if you put tickets on sale today, you don't know what Wisconsin or Michigan's or Ohio's, the states are going to allow. So do you go on sale? Do you sell all 15,000 tickets and hope that that's the show you're going to be able to do, and then have a plan for what to do if the state says, no, we need to keep it at 20% or something like that? That's a real deterrent to planning a tour right now and planning live performances.
Yeah, well, not knowing is the enemy of profits.
Well, that's it. So, I'm a little surprised.
Then there's the whole, okay, we can schedule it and sell tickets, but now we have to cancel it, and now we have to give money back, or do
right,
we tell them,
no,
hold on to your tickets, we're going to reschedule this, and there's all the logistics that are involved. It's a nightmare.
No, it is. It is, and it's a nightmare for people, too, because, look at the Rolling Stones. Okay, they postponed their summer 2020 North American tour, have not refunded anything yet, but have not said anything about when they're going to be back. I mean, as a consumer, that's pretty terrible.
Well, that's why I think the Chicago thing, taking up a residence somewhere, it makes much more sense.
Right. You can create a safe, you can create a safe environment, have safety protocols going on that you don't have to travel.
Because you can control that for every single show. Who's
going
to sit
same
where?
Place. You don't have to. Right. Worry about changing laws.
Eddie Van Halen's mural, is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, no, it is. Well, it is.
Okay,
a mural.
It is a mural.
It's,
I haven't seen it.
It's a giant on. It's on. It's in Southern California on the side of the Guitar Center in Hollywood. Robert Varga is the painter, and they unveiled it on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, which was Eddie's birthday. And, Wolfgang tweeted about it, how much he loves it. Some people are hating on it, but you look at it, it's fine. It's a very dynamic, colorful mural. I can't imagine anybody being bent out of shape about it. And it was done. This artist Varga, he loved Eddie Van Halen, and so he wanted to do something special to commemorate him in, or if you will, near his hometown. He's from Pasadena. The band, that's where the band started, but, Los Angeles, Hollywood were their stomping grounds.
I'm not sure what you would criticize about it. I mean,
it looks
like Eddie Van Halen playing a guitar.
Yeah, take a look at it online. It is very, it's very comic book, I think.
Brian.
But it's fine. It's good.
You've underestimated the human race. Somebody.
I don't usually do that.
We'll complain about anything.
Yeah. Somebody.
But it's a good one.
Maybe not everybody, but somebody will go, well, I don't like that. That's offensive.
It's Eddie Van Halen playing a guitar.
Which is what he did.
The classic, red and white, stripy-looking Van Halen guitar. What's the deal?
Earlier this week, we had a story about candy bars, and we were going around the horn talking about what's the best candy bar, blah, 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 and none of us named the new Rolling Stones candy bar.
Yeah, the Stones are doing, they actually have a pair of candy bars that you can get via their official website, their merch website. One is a milk chocolate bar called Brown Sugar, and the other one's a dark chocolate bar called Cherry Red, of course, from You Can't Always Get What You Want. You can get those online. Pearl Jam has also created a box of caramel chocolates, and this is being marketed through their Vitology Foundation, and the proceeds from that will go to charities, particularly fighting homelessness in Seattle.
So these aren't being made by Mars or Hershey or
Nestle?
Well,
no, they do. They all partner with a candy maker, the Stones. It's some chocolatier in England. In Pearl Jam's case, it's Theo Chocolates.
What's your favorite candy bar? You and Engelbert Humperdinck are stuck on an island together, and you can have one.
I have to have a candy bar.
Right, you're getting all the Humperdinck you need, but you want your candy bar now. What is it?
I probably go to a Kit Kat.
Okay. All right.
And I just had the mocha over the weekend, the new mocha one, and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Before we let you go, if there's no Spice Girls news, we got to get to the Phil Collins news.
I was going to say, I've been sitting here just kind of, waiting for this to happen.
Well, the Eagles don't open with Hotel California. They close with Hotel California.
And they opened with it for a while.
They did back in the 70s. You're right.
So, yeah, there's three bits of Phil Collins news this weekend. The slightest of the stories is the Genesis UK tour has been postponed yet again. They were going to launch in April. Now they are going to launch in November and play November and December, basically what they were planning to do in 2020. So that'll be, and they did post, if you're a Genesis fan, go look at the tour teaser. It's really good.
Really?
It's like a 60-second teaser, and it shows off the band's playing Behind the Lines, the song Behind the Lines, and they kind of show off the light show, and it's really, really good. It'll get you excited. Meanwhile, he sold the house in Miami Beach.
Okay.
They haven't disclosed the price yet, but the word on the street is $40 million.
He doesn't have to disclose the price because she gets none of that. They were divorced. She was just living there.
Right.
Out she goes. It's his house. Okay.
Right. So nobody has to disclose it.
Right.
I guess he bought it in 2015 for $33 million. So if the word on the street is right, it's a $7 million profit on the house. Meanwhile, she's not going quietly. she did move out on the 21st. Now she is selling off a bunch of stuff, including jewelry, some of her 5,000 pairs of shoes. Call her Imelda, if you will. And she is selling Phil Collins' gold and platinum album.
Okay, I understand her having the jewelry and the shoes. Those are her things. Mm-hmm. How does she wind up grabbing those?
I don't know. Obviously she grabbed them on the way out.
Just and ripping them off the wall and running out the door with them.
And I don't know if these were gifts at some point to her, and it's not just his own albums, but stuff like Robert Plant's Principle of Moments albums, which Phil Collins played on. He had a gold record for that, and she's selling them for all of $100.
Why don't we buy them? Why don't
we should?
Why don't we put in a bid and get one or two of these?
Give them to Phil.
Right, I'd just give them back to Phil. I got a lot of clutter. I don't really want.
Oh, yeah. I think I would absolutely, if I had a Phil a gold record, right?
That had gold and platinum.
That had been handed to Phil Collins by the record company, and I could hang that in my record room or whatever, my rec room. Somewhere
it would make me feel dirty.
Really? Would you give it?
His freaky wife grabbed it and sold it on the internet.
All right,
just to F you, Phil Collins.
Okay, so Phil could absolutely spend the $100 and buy it back if he wanted. He could outbid all of us, right?
Sure.
But he's not. What makes he wants
and
it back?
Maybe he will. Mm. I haven't heard.
True.
I don't know if these have sold yet or not. Maybe he will.
He may have a straw bidder, right?
Sure.
So it's not his name on there.
Right. Or there could even be quiet. There even could be quiet things going on behind the scenes with the lawyers to say, okay, you can sell the shoes and the jewelry, but no.
Gold record bought by Bill Rollins.
Unless they were given to her. The gold and platinum album thing is a real shtick. And, they make a lot of those to give out to not only people who were involved, but to friends and, in some cases, family.
We actually got in a lot of trouble for that one time here. We had a gold record hanging on the wall in the hall, that they presented to the radio station. And we busted it open and put it on a turntable in here. And it wasn't even that record.
It's not the red note. It's very
It was just some random record. They were so mad at us here. They were furious with us when they found out we had torn that thing apart.
Oh, no. Whose album was it?
Rock, do you remember?
I don't.
Well, I don't even remember
I wanna
doing
say Tool,
that.
But it wasn't anything that
I
good.
I want to say it was a Metallica, but I don't think we'd have torn a Metallica album.
Or
Jackal, Someone like that.
It might have been Warrant.
Yeah.
I think it was Jackal, to tell you the truth.
The one they wouldn't have wanted to have on the wall anyway.
Right.
They were pretty upset with us around here for a couple of days.
But they would have been really mad if it was Tool or Metallica.
But those albums are almost like 99.9% never the real album.
Yeah, it was an album we recognized, but it wasn't their album.
No,
it was
right,
like,
yeah.
Well, you just dipped this in gold.
They grab something that's around the
I think it was
Engelbert
Humperdinck.
Right,
but shouldn't
the tracks match up with the label?
If they were being careful, they would at least have the same number of tracks as the actual album had, but they don't. I have a few here who, they're very clear. I have not broken into them to find out what they are, but they're clearly
we played one on the air.
Yeah, we got written up for
you
that
anywhere near.
Yeah. I'm sure that's in our file. They were very unhappy with us that day.
Yeah, I'm not gonna write the next time you visit. I'm closing that part of the house.
Probably a good idea.
Okay, if real quickly, yes or no, if you called Phil Collins today, could you talk to him today?
No.
You. Okay, he's not available?
No.
All right, is he laying low or is he just always difficult to get a hold of?
A combination. Yeah, he's never readily available.
Okay, all right.
And he's busy. He's rehearsing with Genesis.
He's got a house to get cleaned up. He's selling.
Right, he has to get the house ready for the new owner.
All right, Gary, we got to run.
All right, you guys have a great week.
I will talk to you next Friday.
Bye-bye.